Have you seen the Buddha relics? There are a lot of mysticism, miracles, and superstitious beliefs wrapped around the relics. In relic exhibitions, some even display the Buddha's organ relics, such as heart relics, kidney relics. But if someone were to have a little bit of common sense, that person will soon realize that such relics cannot be existed. However, beyond this mysticism and superstitious beliefs, there lies the simple and plain truth about the relics. In this short talk today, we are going to see the Buddha relics under the light of historical records, archaeological discoveries, and see how relics are related with our Dhamma practice. My main source of reference for this short talk is Mahaparinibbana Sutta in Digha Nikaya. First of all, let's understand what is relics. Relic is something held as memorable. It is priceless. It has sentimental values. Triple gem is the most precious gems for a follower of the Buddha. Triple gems is the guiding light. Sublime teachings of the Buddha still exists in its crystal clarity. Noble community of monks, Sangha members are still functioning. However, the Buddha is not living anymore. We cannot see his physical existence after he attained Parinibbana. Buddha's great passing away left a great vacuum, a gap. Followers of the Buddha try to bring back the existence of the Buddha to their minds through relics. There are three types of relics. The followers of the Buddha try to bring back the Buddha to mind using these three types of relics. First of them is Saririka, the bodily remains of the Buddha, the bone fragments. According to Mahaparinibbana Sutta, which is the oldest record about the relics, it is said, after Buddha's body was cremated, only bones remained. The skin, hair, and other organs, flesh, everything else burned. Nothing remained other than the bones. When Mahaparinibbana Sutta records this very clearly and precisely, there is no any ground for anyone to say that there is blood relics, heart relics, liver relics, or anything at all related to the organs or other part of the Buddha's body, other than the bone fragments. These bodily remains of the Buddha were enshrined in stupas. Second category of relics are known as paribhogika. These are the precious memorable items associated with the Buddha. So that can be the Bodhi tree under where he attained perfect enlightenment. That can be a monastery where the Buddha lived. So anything used by the Buddha, such as alms bowl, and they all are relics, memorable items, priceless. They connect us with the Buddha. They bring us the existence of the Buddha to our mind. The third category of relics is known as Uddesika. So these are the monuments, statues, sculptures, paintings done to represent the Buddha, especially the Buddha statues, Buddha Rupa. Artists, they build giant size Buddha statues just to bring the Buddha back to our mind. In ancient time, they carved solid stones and created huge Buddha statues. Even today, there are a lot of Buddha statues all over the world built by his followers. So these three types of relics all are trying to do one thing. What is that one thing? We are trying to bring the lost Buddha to existence. Buddha statues, huge pagodas where the relics are enshrined, and Bodhi trees and the other religious objects of venerations, they all try to fill up the gap which is created by great passing away of the Buddha. Now, we can ask a question, whether Buddha encouraged worshipping the relics. In fact, Buddha did encourage paying respect and veneration to the relics. In Mahaparinibbana Sutta itself, we come across Venerable Ananda asked the Buddha before his great passing away, Lord, what should we do with the remains of the Tathagata after the cremation? The Buddha said, after the cremation, the bones should be enshrined in a stupa, and this stupa must be built in a cross junction. Here, the cross junction in ancient terms mean a place where many people come and go, like in a city. Cross junction here simply means the many roads come together. It means many people come and go. And when you build a stupa in a such a place, and many people can see. The reason the Buddha gives in the discourse is, having seen this great stupa, someone will recollect this stupa is built in the name of the enlightened one, the blessed one, Arahant. When that person think about the Buddha, his mind become calm, serene, and peaceful. He will develop faith in the Buddha. Out of faith and confidence in the Buddha, he will start to learn the Dhamma and practice the Dhamma. The Buddha further says in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta itself that any monk or a nun or a lay man or woman of who is a follower of the Buddha should visit four sacred places. The place where Buddha was born, Lumbini. The place where he attained supreme enlightenment, Buddha Gaya. And the place where he gave his first Dhamma sermon, Saranat, and the place where he attained Parinibbana, Kushinagar. So these four places are to be visited by the followers of the Buddha. And the Buddha says further, by visiting these places, one can arouse one's own faith, energy, and confidence in the Buddha, and will follow the path of the Buddha. So when Buddha encouraged his followers to build a stupa and enshrine the relics, and visit these four sacred places, he meant that these will increase our faith and confidence in the Buddha and follow the path. So out of great compassion for future generations, Buddha encouraged worshipping and venerating the relics and the other objects of venerations, what we popularly call relics. Now, let's ask the question, what happened to the bodily remains of the Buddha after the cremation? There were 8 kingdoms sent their representatives claiming the bodily relics of the Buddha. Over this issue, there was a dispute. They all wanted to have relics for themselves. At that moment, a Brahmin named Drona He addressed this assembly of lords and said these words. Sunantu bhuntu mama eka vakyam. Amhaka buddho ahu kantivado. Lords, let me utter one sentence. What is that one sentence? Our Buddha was a peace-loving person. So he said, it is not proper for us to quarrel over the remains of the Buddha. And then he volunteered to distribute these bodily remains among the 8 kingdoms. And he divided the relics into 8 portions. And 8 stupas were built for these bodily remains. The Brahmin himself said that he would like to have the urn which is used to distribute the relics, and he enshrined it and built another stupa. Immediately after the relics were distributed, another kingdom came forward asking the relics. At that time, there were no relics. Then they were asked to take the ashes from the cremation ground. So they took the ashes and they do build a stupa. So there were 8 stupas built for bodily remains. One is for the urn. The other one is for the ashes. Around 200 years later, Emperor Ashoka came to power. And after becoming a Buddhist, he wanted to build many stupas throughout his empire. So he dug these stupas to take the relics for his stupa projects. But he did not touch the stupa built by the Buddha's relatives, Sakyans, most probably out of respect for the Buddha's relatives. So Ashok, the Emperor Ashok, having taken the relics of the Buddha from the other 7 stupas, he built many thousands of stupas in the kingdom, and he also sent missionary monks to 9 countries, and together with them he also sent some relics, so the other countries also got the Buddha's relics. However, time passed by. Eventually, Buddhism disappeared from its original land of India due to many causes, including foreign invasions, and monasteries were destroyed. Some of them were totally disappeared, and eventually British came and they were ruling India. In 1898, a British colonial engineer and a landowner, W.C. Pepe, he discovered an earthen mound in his land. This was the stupa built by the Sakyans. And Emperor Ashoka did not touch this. However, he did the excavation. And W.C. Pepe, together with a group of people, did the excavation, and they dig through 18 feet thick brick wall and eventually found a stone box. Inside this stone box, there were 5 vases, which contains the bone fragments, ashes, and some jewels. The inscriptions of these verses were said that they were the bone fragments of the Buddha. සලිල නිදනේ බුදස භගවතේ සකියානම් Here lies the Buddha, the blessed one of the Sakyans. In 1971 to 1973, the Archaeological Survey of India, they did further excavation in this stupa, and later on they too discovered another casket which contains the bodily fragments of the Buddha. This is kept in National Museum of New Delhi, and even today you can go and see this. However, according to historical records as well as archaeological discoveries, and we have proper records about the relics of the Buddha and what happened and all these informations. Now, why these relics are important to our Dharma practice? As I said at the very beginning, the relics, they connect us with the Buddha. So the stupas, Buddhist statues, Bodhi trees, all these represent the Buddha. And they can arouse our faith and confidence in the Buddha. However, that alone is not enough. Faith is only the seed. Having the faith and confidence in the enlightened one, we need to follow the Dhamma. Just before Buddha attained Parinibbana, while he was lying down between two sal trees, these sal trees burst into flowers out of the season. At that moment, addressing the Venerable Ananda, Buddha said, Ananda, look at these sal trees. They burst into flowers out of the season to honor the Tathagata. However, if any human being were to practice the Dhamma, that human being honor the Tathagata much more than this. What Buddha is trying to say is, venerating and paying homage and respect to the Buddha or Buddha's bodily relics or any other objects of veneration, and they are of course very important, we can continue to do so. However, paying respect and veneration to the relics should not be substituted with Dhamma practice. So Buddha here emphasizes the Dhamma practice. So as followers of the Buddha, while we are trying to connect with the Buddha sentimentally, emotionally, by paying respect to the Buddha images, relics, or any other objects of veneration, we must also dedicate vigorously to follow the noble path. Then only we can achieve the end goal of the Buddhist practice. So worshipping the relics is important, but it should not be substituted with Dhamma practice. In Mahaparinibbana Sutta itself, we come across again, the Buddha is saying to Venerable Ananda, after Buddha passed away, we should not think the teacher does not live anymore, but rather we must consider the Dhamma and discipline proclaimed by the Buddha as our living teacher. He said, Yovo Ananda Maya Dhammo Cha Vinayo Cha Desito Panyato So Vo Mamachena Satta. Ananda, once I am gone, you should consider the Dhamma and the Vinaya taught by me as the teacher. So this again emphasizes, even though we try to see the Buddha through Buddhist statues or through pagodas or through Bodhi trees, even though we try to see the Buddha, and we should rely on the Dhamma for our guidance. It is only the Dhamma that can guide us to attain enlightenment. Throughout last 2500 years, the Buddha's dispensation survived until up to now without a single leader. Even today, the Dhamma and Vinaya are the guiding principles for the community of monks and the other Buddhist community. We also must remember what Buddha said to Venerable Wakkali. He said, Yoko Wakkali Dhammam Passati So Mam Passati. Yo Mam Passati So Dhammam Passati. Wakkali, whoever sees the Dhamma sees me. Whoever sees me sees the Dhamma. So even though we try to see the Buddha through relics of his bodily, the bone fragments or Bodhi trees or Buddha images, the real way to see the Buddha is the Dhamma. Whoever can see this Dhamma, that person can see the Buddha. There are two concepts regarding the Buddha. The Buddha's physical body and the Buddha's doctrinal body. Rupakaya is Buddha's physical body, and that does not exist anymore. But Dhammakaya, Buddha's doctrinal body, still exists in its crystal clarity. So as Buddha pointed out in Wakkali Sutta, whoever can see the Dhamma through that, that person still can see the Buddha. Okay, I think this much is enough as a talk. We can open this for Q&A.